right mind, unless they ignorant as hell like her, who want to get on and really get with her. But they're giving her a show. And yet, I still strive to get noticed nationally. You know what I'm saying? You got to get on TV and act like a fool to get somewhere. But I don't know if that's gonna really pay off for her in the long run. It's 15 minutes for her too. Okay, so in honor of Prince and Flav, we're gonna play a couple of their jams.
But I wanna get with New York. You're listening to Network23KillRadio.org. Yeah, as usual, we tend to run a little bit late, but that's normally the nature of our business. Or at least, yeah, the show's business. You can call us up here at the station at area code 213-252-0998. That's once again area code 213-252. Whoa. All right. I guess we're alive.
I think we're alive. Oh, no. We were. Jeez. This whole time I was talking to myself? Well, you're listening to Network23KillRadio.org. As I was saying, we're running a bit late. So, yeah, that's pretty much the way we slack off here at Network 23. Today we have special guest Divine Science joining us later on here at the station at the 3 o'clock hour. But as for right now, feel free to call us in if you'd like to at area code 213-252-0998. That's once again area code 213-252-0998. And, I guess I'm going to start off with telepop music. Breathe. This is a Watkins Marcus of Respect remix. Yes. On Network23KillRadio.org.
Dead air.
Thank you. Завершено. Thank you.
Welcome back. You're listening to Network 23 here on killradio.org. We just finished with Famous Mike. We just finished listening to Sasha Funk, Forms and Shapes, Ellen Elgin remix. Before that was Lady Tron with fighting in built up areas, and we also heard Covenant doing Bullet. Once again, Alien, Ellen Elgin remix. Then we heard Brian Brand, Planet Earth, White Label remix. And we started off the set with Telepop Music, Reed Watkins, Marcus of Respect remix. And in the background, we're listening to Sexy Robot. The name of this track is Pleasure. No, it's at Afternoon Rendezvous. Yes, that's it. But locally called Lady P. I believe Lady P from Los Abandoned doing special guest vocals on this one. Pretty cool, pretty cool. You're listening to Network 23 here on KillRadio.org. Come to you live every Sunday from 2:30 to 4 p.m. Sometimes we might extend. The hours a little bit longer just because we feel good or just cause that's it. Hit us up here at the station if you guys like to. Air code 213-252-0998. That's once again air code 213-252-0998. And as promised, you give our special guest, Divine Science. Yeah, we'll be playing some tracks from our CD and the quick Q&A session here as well too, so stay tuned to network23killradio.org.
We'll be right back.
Alright, welcome back to Network23KillRadio.org. This is your host, Ramon, along with... check your mic again. Sorry, we're having little technical difficulties up in this joint. No, I believe it. No, you know what? We'll share, Sam. Alright, well, this is Sam now. Sam, it was off. So let's do this. All right. So, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm a little bit sore, I must admit, because I had a huge dancing session with some of my friends last night over at the Avalon.
Nice.
There was a fabulous
after hours. I take it right.
Oh God, yeah. And I shouldn't have stayed up so late.
You know what? But that's always a good thing. I mean, we stay up a little bit late. I mean, there's even soreness and all that stuff. But yeah, you know, it's kind of like, I guess, an untapped source of energy that you tend to get for the morning or the day after.
You know? I don't tend to. I'm a bit of a homebody. Strangely enough, since I've been in LA,
right.
I've met some bizarre people in this town, creatures. Some of them I like, some maybe not as fondly. But so I'm very careful about who I hang out with and surround myself with.
Right.
But I just am coming into kind of a group network of friends lately and enjoying their company. And, dancing is like a sort of therapy.
Yes.
For me. I adore it. And I don't mess around when I go out dancing. I'm usually the most energetic, spastic, crazy creature in the room, you know,
right.
Like I was last night. And I went for like 4 solid hours without a break. And I'm just killing this morning, killing.
I bet you're feeling good, though. I mean, it's like
it
a good sore, right?
It was so fun. There were amazing DJs, I think. The first DJ was an amazing set, I think he was a French DJ.
Right.
And not your typical run-of-the-mill house music. It was very fresh and creative and sort of robotic sounding and just really fresh. And, you know, so it was really fun. Yeah. It was worth it, yes. It was worth the agony, pain my back is in this morning, my head, and everything.
Nice.
But I'm ready to go.
All right. That's good. Well, you originally, whatchamacallit, you say you, you're not from L.A., but...
No, God, no.
Whoa!
Everybody that knows me knows that I haven't taken the easiest transition.
Right.
To this town. It's my own issues, but...
No, that's cool. I mean, because from what I've seen in your MySpace page, you're originally from the Midwest, right?
Colorado.
Yes.
I'm a Colorado girl. I'm a total mountain girl, snow and elemental creature, and I adore snow and mountains and deer and all that, you know, Earth's natural beauty. So, but I'm not a hippie. I'm more of a future girl, but I love nature.
That's a good thing that you just stated that.
You won't find too many hairy armpits under here now.
Right.
Or anything.
Right, no.
But I shaved last night, actually.
Nice. Wow. It's getting hot in here. No, but, well, so. let's start with, first and foremost, your musical influences.
Okay. I adore creative, authentic music. I have been singing since I was, before I can remember. My mom, bizarrely enough, told me that I used to speak in tongues, and I don't know what she means exactly, but I've always had sort of my own musical language.
Right.
And I don't know where it's come from, but... I've just always done it, and I've always been drawn to music more than you know, a regular English communication, verbal communication. I find communicating with music much easier for me, much more flowing, much more fluid. So I, you know, starting out, I you know, talking about since I've been born, I've always been singing and just kind of living in my own musical world, singing, improvising all the time. And I think nature actually greatly inspires me, in birds and trees, and I feel really good when I'm out in nature. But when I got a little bit older, say around 12-ish or so, my dad introduced me. He's a hardcore music guy, and he always keeps a harmonica in his, is it jockey box,
okay.
You know, in the car. So whenever I'd be driving around with him, he'd be slapping his knee. He was passionate into music, blaring the tunes, giving me his kazoo and his harmonica, and I think he helped instill a great love for music in me. He first turned me on to, really, it started with Sade.
Wow.
I love Sade.
No.
She's just so beautiful and so elegant.
She is.
She's just a stunning woman, I think, inside and out.
That's true.
And she's just so elegant and smooth. And then, you know, it was people like Edie Brickell. I don't know if you remember Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think she married Paul Simon, right? Or are they? I don't know if they're still married, but, you know, just a real fun, you know... She's not quite hippie, but, you know, kind of nature, crunchy, creative girl. And then, of course, everybody that knows me well knows Tori Amos.
Yeah.
You know, I adore her.
Yeah.
When you see her live in concert, you know, she's straddling the piano bench and she's... You know, passionately rocking, playing with her, you know, right hand the piano, and at the same time, left hand she's on the organ, and she's singing her heart out, and she's just like a great ball of fire, and I just adore her passion and her unapologetic honesty and authenticity.
That's
about
true.
Life and extreme creativity. You know, so yeah. Adore Tori Amos. She helped me get through some tough times, definitely.
Not to mention, on a side note, like every time, as you said, when you go see her in concert, she has this just strong passion, this strong, you know, emotional rage that she puts into her music.
Yeah.
And when she has like a live band backing her up, it's like you could just sense that energy just, you know, coming from the piano and just her words and all. And I mean, it's a good thing, especially if you see her like in spots like the Greek Theater, which I had a chance to over there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I was just like speechless, dude. You know,
it's just, she doesn't hold it back. She doesn't hold anything back, and she's totally herself, non-apologetically. And I adore that kind of spirit with music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then there's also you know, people that, you know, little rebellious creatures, you know, way back, like, you know, Mr. Morrison, Mr. Jim, because again, total crazy boy who is just himself and just freaky and just letting it loose, and I adore that courage and that just playfulness about life and authenticity. I also really enjoy Jeff Buckley, because he's just so damn beautiful, you know? And so I think some peers my age are a little embarrassed of our generation of music, of what's typically playing on the radio these days, because it's just, I like to say it's sort of like Wonder Bread, you know, nutritional value,
but,
you know, what plays on the typical radio these days, and just boring and very formulated and formulaic and same shit, you know, spew it out, spin it out, another through another band. I don't know. It's just not. It's not stuff I can typically be proud of our generation, you know, like true rock stars, you know, like Jim Morrison, Led Zeppelin, you know, anyway, I'm trying to, in my own weird way, kind of be myself and truly unabashedly bring my style of music,
good.
I guess.
That's good. We don't condone that whatsoever. As a matter of fact, we inspire that. I mean, we want you.
It's important.
Yeah, it is. It is. Because nowadays, like you said, it's like everybody's pretty much taking the same formula, putting in their music, and then the other band comes up, uses the same formula that the band before them used. And, I mean, it's pretty much nowadays we're left to a point where nobody really has any kind of sense of creativity now, or you know, it's just the pressure that you have, like these big music conglomerate, you know, companies calling the artist, you need to put this
up. Right, very corporate.
Exactly.
And they're afraid that, you know, this new fresh, you know, style won't sell. And so they're just going, you know, oftentimes with big record labels, what they've heard that's brought them money before. It's so money-based. And, you know, as we all know, music can be very healing and inspiring. It's one of the greatest elements of being human in
aside
this
from,
life.
Aside from it being an international language, if you were, like, consider music being a language,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean,
that's right, totally. You don't have to understand the words to understand the feeling and the energy and what's coming across, and yeah, absolutely. So it is the universal language.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's very true. Well, let's talk a little bit about your inspiration into doing music and all that. You call yourself an ethereal, you know, person. There's almost like a strong spiritual side to your music that I noticed. It's like it's a common theme, you know.
Yeah.
And not just with the sound of it, but also in your performance. Because I was, let's go back to the dancing.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I noticed in your performance that there's a clip on your page where you're at the Knitting Factory. And there is a lot of passion. There's it's this free form, very passionate performance in it. It's almost like something, you're allowing something else to speak through you. Would that be correct?
That's perfect and beautiful. I appreciate you acknowledging that very, very much. I've always been a very spiritual person, not religious, although I was raised as a child Mormon, and I've met some other Mormon girls who, or let's say, you know, ex-Mormon girls who have become the wildest goddess-type, strong, independent women, kick-ass women, and it's really funny to watch women that have been Mormons, you know, as girls, and now that they're not participating in that religion anymore, they've gone almost to the other side because, you know, being a Mormon, males rule, period. Like, often politics, of course, and, you know, many religions. And, and they've just kind of, when they've ended that bout with that religion, they just are like, well, we're not taking this. This doesn't work for us. This is strange. This is not who I really am, or something. So, and I was raised Mormon, but I've always had my own sense of religion. I mean, if you want me to get into it, I've always spoken with what I consider God, and had my own very personal, very connected daily relationship with God, and I've prayed in my own way, and I have very strong intuition. And I listened to my messages. In fact, that's what guided me out to L.A. And I listen in to my spirit and to the messages I get. And, yeah, it absolutely, so of course it comes through my music. And I don't like New Age music typically at all. It's
no Yanni for you?
Boring.
No,
like,
Yanni?
No. You know, like, respect to everyone, blessings to everyone, but I'm not a New Age girl.
Yeah.
I don't like to put myself in a category. That is boring shit to me, a lot of that. But, yeah, I'm spiritual, and I'm not afraid to say it and, you know, or apologetic about it, and truly am not just, like, a label like I found some LA people, like, just put that label on themselves, but it's like, how true is that, you know? So I try to be a good person and maybe be a positive example, you know, to others. And I, when I'm doing my music and when I'm performing, my main goal, really, is to step outside of my own personal ego and let that God energy come through.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
And inspire me. And so it's terrifying to get the show at the Knitting Factory, where I opened for Vast, was completely improvised. And I love to improvise because I feel like that's often my best stuff. And if I trust and go with... But this is my path. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. So that that helps, obviously. A bit of a channel, maybe. But if I trust and step on stage and open myself up and allow myself to be vulnerable, naked, it always comes. Always comes. And I always get clear guidance and images in my head, and I just let them kind of pour through me.
Yeah. So,
And I love to move up there.
Yeah.
I really enjoy being expressive with my hands and my body. And
I mean, if people haven't been to your page, by the way, could you mention your MySpace page?
Yes, please, please. I'm on MySpace, of course. MySpace.com/divinescience. And that's DIVINESCIENCE.
Yeah. So right there, when people go on, they'll see you at the Knitting Factory when you open for Vast.
Yeah.
And they'll get an idea, I think, of your free-form expression on stage. And while you were mentioning you love to improvise, you've been doing that really all your life. So when you sit down and you head to a studio, what's the songwriting process like? Is it based mostly on improvisation, and then from there you start picking and choosing what you want recorded? Or, you know, is it something you enjoy doing, actually, the recording process, or do you feel like it's maybe stifling a little bit your, you know, the improvisations that you have?
I love recording. I adore recording. And it's fun to get some songs down that people can listen to and then hear and enjoy and then see that in live, the live format, you know. And that's always fun. Typically, just my with my last band, Ether, in Santa Fe, New Mexico. That's where I'm last from. I was working with this producer named Walker Barnard, and he had a great studio, and he pre-composed, you know, all the music, and then I would just go and put the headphones on and then just go in the moment. Nothing pre-written whatsoever, and just go. And maybe do that 3 times in a row, and then he would take it and overlap some of the different tracks that I was doing. I would just start from beginning to end, sing all the way through, did that about 3 times, and he would just kind of work with those tracks, you know, and pretty much stay authentic, true with particularly, he'd maybe choose the best, what he thought was the best track, go with that most of the way through, and then add a little flourishes from the other 2 tracks, you know, just like that. It's really fun. I love the creative process in general. So.
All right, well, I think right now what we're going to do is we're going to go to a track from your Ether days. Which one are we going to listen to?
Let's see, this first one, the first one here, I believe is called and again, improvised with my last band, Ether.
All right, so you're listening to Network 23 here on killradio.org. Network 23, killreel.org. That was I Am by Ether, which was Melissa's former band. Now, we're talking about this during the break of the song. It was the process, how you mentioned you don't walk in. I mean, everything's all improvised. You don't walk in with a sheet. You don't walk in with anything already, you know, pre-written or anything like that. Tell us.
Well, because, you know, the best stuff is often in the moment. That's where life is, and that's the freshness.
Right.
And it's like my poetry. I've been writing poetry since I was at least 8, just probably 900, 1,000 to 2,000 poems by now.
Wow.
And I don't like to go back and correct stuff, because that's the true communication there. And, you know, anyone can tap into their spirit. We all have one. I mean, I believe. I don't feel like we're just bodies walking around. There is real magic and invisible elements we're working with here as human beings in this life. And we all have that ability. You know, if we just listen and we just check in with ourselves, we know. We know the answers even. We just have to check in with ourselves. The guidance is there. It's all there. It's endless. Like they say, we use only like 10% of our brain. That's like ridiculous. So, you know, what is in that 90%? You know, what are the possibilities there? What's floating around there? It's pretty much endless. So, yeah, I like to just be true with the moment and the spirit and what's coming to me, you know, then and there. And, yeah, that's how I like to do it.
So would you consider going back and maybe trying a different approach and perhaps sing something from, you know, something that you've written in the past?
Oh, yeah. I mean, recordings that I do, I love to do those live. I love to do those live. But I couldn't do, say, the songs I did with Ether live with, you know, my last show at the Knitting Factory, because those fabulous boys are in Santa Fe and not here. So I'm moving forward, but this is like, you know, this is like my past work that I've done. Really, I would love to find, at this point, a producer or DJ, who does really quality work and really resonates with me and my style, and collaborate together and create. I'm ready to do the new stuff. Ready, so ready. I'm almost dying to compose and to improvise and just create new stuff, you know, and perform that stuff.
It's funny, right now that you just mentioned about the DJs and collaborations and all, and producer, earlier during the break, you were telling us that you've been hit up by a couple of DJs out States now, or what do they call them? The Czech Republic or Germany?
Sure, yeah. Mm, sure, true. I get just... a lot of people, especially in Europe, contact producers and DJs, mostly producers, contacting me and wanting to collaborate. And I just don't... I'm so minimal with... I am not a technical girl.
Right.
I almost think of myself like an oracle of music. And so I am not technically savvy. I'm just learning how to do basic, you know, MySpace computer stuff. And, you know, I am a nature elemental creature. So, but I'm very open to learning about the technical stuff. But I don't have any real equipment to collaborate with these boys and et cetera. So that's slightly frustrating at the moment. But I would definitely prefer to work with someone in L.A.
Right.
Because I'm very interested in performing with that person once I find the right person. And just creating a wonderful, extremely tight live set. And I'm very ambitious, actually. So, I mean, I'm very ambitious.
Yes.
So I'm really going to freaking go for it all the way.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm a little bit picky. I'm not going to just work with, you know, anyone. I've had many LA producers also wanting to work with me, and that's fabulous. But I kind of go with, again, the spirit or what I call God, and wait till it feels right, till it resonates, you know, and feels like this is the right person to work with, you know. But I'm open.
Well, in your previous experiences working with numerous different producers or any of your former collaborators, did you ever end up getting that feeling of them trying to filter, you know, your creative process or your sound or anything of that particular sense?
That's a really good question. I can sometimes unsettle people, I think. And I think maybe that's because I have a large spirit. I'm a tiny little body, but it's funny, like, after I get off stage, oftentimes people are, like, come up to me and they're shocked of how short I am. They expect me to be some tall Amazonian creature. You know? I think that's maybe to do with my spirit, the size of that. I come with a really strong, powerful female energy, and... Sometimes men I've experienced have been perhaps a little intimidated by that, or a little unsettled, or a little scared and not sure what to do with that energy.
Right.
You know? So that has been, I have dealt with that element a little bit in the past. And I think just in general, a lot of guys, respect guys, because I love you, but a lot of guys tend to want to control women. And do the performing, the composing, etc., in a way that they're familiar with.
Right.
And I'm not going the familiar route, you know. So I'd have to work with people that totally support me 100% with what I do and what I am, you know. And there's some strong men out there, lots, and so I trust that will happen.
unfortunately, we're weak, huh?
That's true. I am very weak. Yeah, I mean, you know what? I just rather...
Not you guys, obviously.
We're still cracking about this right now. Oh, man.
We could go on and on, the female and male. You know,
exactly.
Connection.
And then at the end, it just comes down to, you know, the straight out down war where it's like,
oh, God, yeah.
This and that, that. I don't know.
It's amazing that we're supposed to be together, you know. Bless homosexuals, that's fabulous, but it's not my style. And, you know, it's amazing that our brains are so different a lot of times. That we're supposed to, that God's like, you guys, you know, you guys are supposed to be a team, you guys are supposed to work this out, and it's challenging, because I feel like men and women are so different,
right?
You know, like foreign countries sometimes.
That's true.
But that is a great goal, to come together as equals. I'm all about equality, all about equality. I was raised by some very, you know, matriarch, strong female matriarch women. My mother and my grandma, who passed away recently, who I adored. She was like the queen of the family. The women said what went and what, you know, goes, and just...
And what did the male...
And the men were just, men. You know...
So...
Aye, madame, yeah. I do what you say, you know, as long as you'll, you know, take care of me and nurture me. But women have their things too. Women can be very manipulative. We know this. We all have our pluses and minuses. But I'm, you know, so I've come from very matriarchal. Is that the word, matriarchal? Matriarchal women?
Yeah, matriarch women, patriarch men.
Is that a correct word, matriarchal? Thank you, listeners. giving me the grace of speaking my own bizarre language. That's not my goal. My goal is to really figure out how we can come together as equals. And I respect men, you know, and I'm seeing more and more beautiful men who are not going the typical violent war route. You know, obviously that's, you know, going on in a big level.
Ain't no Neanderthal, right?
World right now, yeah. It's, you know, so, you know, anytime you deal with the dynamic of male and female, especially when you're powerful, you're a strong female, you know, men can get a little freaked out by that and not know how to deal with you, basically. So, but I don't know.
But right,
we'll figure it out here.
right now, with the whole female empowerment movement and all, do any of the women who influenced music, rock and roll, country, any subcategory in the musical field, have they also influenced you on some of your current stuff right now or stuff in the past?
I don't. The word influence, maybe, maybe not, but, you know, certainly women that I adore.
Because you're pretty much your own style. It's like, you kind of like, I don't know, you just take, like you said earlier, just all nature and nothing else.
Yeah, yeah, very elemental, very true. Coming from the spirit or whatever. But, you know, I adore women vocalists, you know, again, like we were talking about during the break, that last song, Kate Bush, you know, you gotta respect her. And she was called crazy for a long time in England, you know, but people adore her, and she's just bringing her peace, and she is very, maybe a little, just super creative, imaginative brain. Which I think Tori is, too. I heard that Tori was influenced by Kate. But Kate is just so fabulous and just so creative and raw and wonderful. You know, I really like PJ Harvey. She's great. Little rock girl. A bit raw. And sexual and, again, unapologetic for the piece that she brings. Other women.
How about, Karen O? Yeah.
I like Karen O. She's fun to watch performance-wise. Yeah, she's fun to watch performance-wise. She's fun. You know, maybe slightly more in, what would you call it, indie rock?
Yes.
Category?
Yeah, indie rock.
But yeah, she's a performance artist. And so that works these days. You know, the record labels are saying oftentimes these days that, you know, it's got to be a certain way that we're used to seeing a certain style of music and perhaps performance as well. But that's not ever always the case. You know, there's always people just, if they resonate with it, that's all there is to it. And, you know, and I think people really resonate with the truth and authenticity and emotion, and, you know, we all do. And but, you know, I have to get into some boys. You know, I adore David Bowie. He's just a little space alien, you know.
And he
really
is.
And he really is, you know. Just a real fun, bizarre, sparkling, shiny creature. I love Radiohead.
Tom York.
Do you guys like Radiohead?
Yep. Tom York. Very creative guy. Especially with his album, The Eraser. He just went like on a whole completely spectrum from Radiohead. Don't get me wrong, it's not your Kid A and OK Computer.
Right.
But it's like maybe three to 5 degrees completely different to that.
Uh-huh.
And you know, in a way I personally think he took a gamble on that.
Yes.
But it's the good thing about it is that a lot of Radiohead fans and plus other people out there just happen to gain to accept that. And it's a good thing that's more of the stuff that we need out there nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. His stuff, you know, his solo albums maybe I'd consider slightly more minimal, a little bit more minimal, you know. You know, it doesn't have the sweeping, wonderful, huge strings that Radiohead has that I just love, that I love. I love strings. And actually, for my first show here, my debut at the Knitting Factory, it was just me and one of my best friends who is a cellist, who's an amazing cellist, just amazing and way out there, godly and on his instrument. Tremendous effects galore. Yeah, I just love strings.
Yes, so you really, got that in your...
I love strings. I love piano.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta have strings, and I love a lot of electronic textures, and gotta have that as well.
Yes, I've noticed you have that on your MySpace page as well, too. That Knitting Factory performance, no?
Uh-huh. And his cello is featured in Ether's songs too that I have on my page as well. He's in there too. He's in the mix too, doing his wonderful cello thing. Sound.
All right. So up next, what would you like to do? Let's go with a song. Would you like to go something from your CDs or one more? Okay. So which song would you like to go with?
Why don't we go with my improvised a cappella, Solar Eve. And this is remixed. This is remixed by a Czech DJ. And his name is DJ Saj Raj. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. It's DJ Sajrajt. He has a MySpace page as well. And Czech Republic DJ boy who heard this on my page, this a cappella, Solar Eve, and really wanted to play around with it. So, and I like what he did. So he remixed it. So this is the remix version of Solar Eve.
All right, so we're going to go with Solar Eve up next, the remix. And you're listening to Network 23.
God told me once that if I pray, I'm in my good God. And we have to do, all you have to do, all you have to do, all you have to do is be me free. All the way, all the way, all the way, all the way.
Back with Marissa. This is Network 23 on killradio.org, and she has thankfully agreed to stick around with us and, you know, enjoy a few more minutes with us. And you just heard Solar Eve, the remix, which was, once again, it was an improvisation.
Now don't be asking me, people, where you can buy that, because...
But they can listen. Where can we buy that?
I know. I keep people keep asking me, where
can,
to buy...
Can we find that in a 7-inch, 10-inch, or 12-inch white label?
Cloud, yes.
Okay.
Get into the airplane and drop in. Okay. I'll label this the right cloud, and then you can have the experience.
So, well, your songs are up on your page. Once again, plug the page.
Yeah, it's thanks. It's so it's myspace.com/divinescience Divine Science.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because we know you as Marissa.
Yeah.
You know, you have the Divine Science included in the name. Where did that come from?
Well, you know, that's kind of my working title at the moment. Again, that name, I wouldn't use that name unless it came down and plopped right down into my brain from above and all around. Spirit world dimension. That name came to me real clear. I was looking for names, and of course that never works for me. Okay. Like trying to think. What should it be? What should it be? Because that's not my energy, clearly. So it had to, I had to wait till it plopped down and just hit my, you know, cranium there. And it said Divine Science. So, but I was enjoying the word science a lot, because if we've noticed, we're realizing more and more that science and spirituality are connected these days. And if you've seen the really great movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? Have you seen that?
I've not even heard of that.
So good. Oh my God, it's a little spiritual classic, and but crossover. People really like that. It's a popular movie, What the Bleep Do We Know?
Okay.
And featuring tons of scientists in there, and we're just seeing how, I don't know, just the connection between spirituality and science and magic and energy, how it's all energetic and connected. That's as much as I can tell you. My right brain can tell you.
Yeah.
But so I've been, you know, I was playing with this word science, and I like science because science feels more masculine to me, maybe a little more mental to me, because I'm into the mind, because That's our master computer, so we have to learn how to really utilize that the best that we can. It's a great tool. It's not about just coming from the heart and screwing the brain, forget about that. It's using everything that we've been given. It's all, you know, there for a reason. So I like science. It seems kind of more masculine, and I like divine because perhaps I get a more ethereal feeling, maybe a little more white energy feeling, feminine, you know, angelic, maybe coming from a more magical, invisible place, bringing those two together. Perhaps the science provides a grounding for the divinity.
Well,
and a method to bring it through, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, well, it caught me by surprise, I guess, when I saw that divine science. But now that you're explaining it, it makes sense, because it's funny, but a lot of scientists who, yes, most of them happen to be males. They, you know, a lot of them are come from an atheistic background.
Yeah.
But
true.
When they really delve into certain aspects of science, especially a lot of people that deal with molecular biology, nuclear physicists.
Sure.
When they really get deep into that subject and try to break it down, they always come out leaving their atheistic background.
Yeah.
It happens so often.
Yeah.
They become spiritual people because they'll explain that. You know, it seems it's impossible for science or anything in science to be an accident, you know. It's almost like they understand that there has to be something bigger behind all this, you know.
Yeah, right, exactly. And of course, just endless questions. Where did I come from? What is this? What am I doing here? What is this human experience? You know, what will happen after I die? Just what is... You know, it's amazing we don't just freak out and go insane every day. I mean, I do in my own way, but then I try to breathe and meditate and calm myself.
And dance.
Know? And dance. And absolutely dance. And dream at night. I'm a big dreamer. Geez, I have movies, the most fantastic and sometimes scary movies playing every night. I close my eyes. As soon as I close my eyes, I fall asleep almost instantly, and that's my little solace, dreamland. And you know, it's reflected in the music. I'm a big dreamer girl, and the images in color, and I dream a lot about labyrinths and textures of earth and being with people and community and this planet. And yeah, I'm a bit alien-esque. I've probably lived in other planets. Don't shoot me for that, people. Don't crucify me. I'm terrified of being crucified.
Are you?
Or, you know, killed. Yep.
Yeah.
Becoming a little more visible, you know, on a bigger, pretty big level, and then being murdered.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at John Lennon. Look at, JFK. Look at...
But, you know, a lot of songwriters...
I got a little ADD there. I forgot what you were asking me.
Yeah, I know. I kind of went...
I just go off on my own little tangents, but, yeah.
Well, a lot of songwriters...
Science, yeah.
Well, we were talking about science, but now with songwriters, now that you're talking about dreams, a lot of songwriters really do find inspiration in their dreams. Some in their nightmares, sure, but...
Yeah, I have a lot of nightmares. I have a lot of a dark man chasing me, but it's probably related to my childhood. Because, you know, you're dealing with your subconscious, of course, whenever you're dreaming, and all the murky stuff lurking around in there is going to come out in your brain. Some people believe that your spirit leaves your body when you dream, sort of floats, or you're experiencing... life on a different level when you're dreaming, and that's fascinating. But our subconscious is so rich, and the problem or challenge, I should say, we have oftentimes is we don't go internal and really try to explore ourselves and see what is going on in me, what is truly who I am, and what is my own childhood traumas, which are kept in the subconscious. And life just becomes much more surface, and we like to point the finger and say that it's so-and-so and so-and-so's fault, instead of taking responsibility. And the more you get to know yourself and your own inner process and evolve, the more awake you become, And the deeper experience of life you have, and you can realize that you are the great manifester of your own life. You don't have to live just reacting off of experiences and be a victim and live that way, pointing the finger. You can realize that you create your own life and actively do that and consciously, intentionally do that. It's very different. And I'm just, you know, I get a little impatient because I feel like people are taking so damn long on this planet to wake up. And I get a little frustrated and I get impatient. I can get impatient, and that's my own issue. But I just hope that we all do it as quick as possible and without killing everybody first.
That's true.
Mass war.
Hello? Okay. This, for a minute right there, I'm like, man. See, this is a drawback to the times being here at Kill Radio. Sometimes there's always something that goes wrong, you know?
Blessing in disguise.
That's maybe.
Maybe
on that one. But other than that, you know, it's quite good. It's okay. I mean, we don't mind it. But now, for that special performance, what do we have in store?
Something just in the moment, of course, but of course.
Yes.
I was going to plow into my beef jerky here. Everybody assumes I'm vegetarian, and I'm not. I'm a total huntress.
Hey, we didn't say anything. Yet. No.
Yeah. Yeah, but you were thinking it, probably. No, just kidding.
No, on the contrary, because what you say, you're from Colorado, right? So
yeah.
There's a lot of deer out over there.
We don't eat deer, though.
Okay.
We kill them with our cars. Bambi's jumping across the road, but accidentally in the headlights.
Wink, wink. No.
And skunk. Oh, that's always fun to smell. All the skunk littered across the roads, and the deer, and the elk roaming free. Oh, such peace.
Do you miss Colorado?
Oh, my God. Endlessly. It's like heaven. I grew up in a tiny little town near Telluride. Mm-hmm. So, truly in the heart of Colorado.
Which is one of the last natural...
Yeah.
Untapped...
they call it the little Switzerland of America. They call it the little Switzerland of America. And there's snow on the ground at least 8 months of the year. And we're talking, you know, like 2 feet, you know. It's not like an inch or two. It's, you know, it snows on the 4th of July sometimes during our, you know, parade. I grew up in a town of, population's 800 people. And so no stoplight. And it's like where people go to camp, you know, when they want the just great, amazing, spectacular outdoor experience. That's where I lived, you know. And people would ski to their front door a lot of times.
What?
I mean, it's just like, and there's avalanches going off. I lived in a cabin, a large cabin with an ex-partner, and it was just divine. And, pardon the pun. But there was an avalanche that went off at the bottom of the driveway. It almost, you know, it almost exploded onto our house. So just truly, truly living among the elements, you know. And I love that. I almost prefer us being at the mercy of Mother Nature than each other. Because we can be such shits, you know.
That's true.
And Mother Nature, nature is always perfect. But I'm big into perfectionism. I drive myself crazy with that. But, yeah. Lovely, lovely place. And yes, I miss Colorado. Mm-hmm. A great deal.
You planning to go back there during December? By any chance?
I might. Yeah, my mom still lives there. My sisters are in Utah. One of them's still doing the Mormon thing. So I am a bizarre black sheep, you know, creature.
Do you give her grief about that at times? Like, come on.
Oh, no, I don't give her grief. She gives me grief.
She gives you grief.
All the time. We're like black and white, you know. I love her. But we've had our fair share of challenges.
Okay.
Let's just say, you know. I won't get into it. We're finally healing that stuff, I feel. But she always thought I was just a bizarre space alien. And I think she was pretty embarrassed by me in public because I would always be so expressive. You know, we would go to basketball games when I was a kid, and I would be loud cheering for our, you know, the team or the school's team. Just, I would be the loudest, you know, and I'm all excited and I'm passionate and I'm flailing my arms and expressive, and she's just like looking at me like, you know, how dare you? You know, you are not my sister. You know, and grabbing my arms and pinning them down at my sides. So, yeah, and I haven't always had the easiest time.
No, but you know what? I guess.
I've always felt so weird, but now I'm realizing it's okay to be weird, you know, or different, whatever.
And the best thing about that, I believe other people live vicariously through others, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Which is, I guess, a good thing. It's like, you know, I don't have the courage to be like him or like her, but you know what? It's always, I guess it's good.
Yeah, well, I think she has maybe some more, the more slightly conservative tendencies, and I'm like just as wide open-minded as possible. I think that's the way to stay young in life. Open mind, open heart. No matter how many times you've been hurt, keep it open, boys and girls, so you can continue experiencing love and beauty. And she just, you know, she prefers to live a little more traditional and a little more by the book, I guess. And I think she was maybe a bit jealous that I was so free and open. And I think it bothered her, but she's starting to come around to that, you know? Without me having to beat her over the head saying, you're wrong, my ways are right. Because nobody's right, wrong anyway. We're just ourselves, and we have to be okay with that person is who they are, I am who I am, etc. Yeah.
So I think we've learned a few lessons today. One of them is it's okay to be different. The second is it's okay to be an alien.
Man, we didn't quite. Oh, okay. Okay, third, I was talking about the alien part, you know. Yeah.
The third, it's okay to eat beef jerky.
That's right.
And the fourth is it's okay.
Hopefully free range. Let's not torture the animals, people. But, you know, I have no problem
and
slicing
the fourth,
into them.
It's okay to shave.
And endless other lessons you'll understand in a few hours or a few days.
So we're going to go into a song right now, and this will be an improv, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're ready. This is Marissa, Divine Science.
Once again, this is a Network 23 exclusive.
I'm shy and shy and silent. I know a three-way sorrow. You will not be a slave today. In silence you roam, and you will find that you're home is and has always been inside. Today, out of space case, turned down and turned down. Free waves of the mind let it expand quickly in time. Cause we are belonging all the same. Today, just today, let yourself not be a slave of your own mind, of your own time. Quickly now, I will embrace the human race and all of its gifts, but I don't have to be the same. don't have to say I will be me. Under the trees and all the animals, and free me of time and space, real case, time and space, real case. But let beauty pour in. We're living in abysmal sin. Just let beauty embrace the human in our race. And beauty pouring the eyes and brain the skin. And beauty sink in the eyes. Watch you as we watch your eyes. And I like it. I like it a lot. I like you. I like you a lot.
Wow. That you have such control with extending just the sounds on the words and all. I'm like, wow, like, I'm amazed. I'm very amazed.
Thank you so very, very.
I'm very amazed.
I don't know if you can see this, but am I shiny?
You're shiny.
I'm shiny. I was actually shiny. Sweating.
No, that wasn't a bad thing.
No, I mean, it's like.
See what kind of effect you put on Sam now.
Yeah, I mean, it's like.
Good for the skin.
Yeah, it's like the temperature here in the room just jumped a few degrees.
Yeah, something opened up.
it's almost like you're playing with a vibe in here, you know.
That is a good point because I'm into feng shui. You guys kind of have a basic concept of feng shui.
Yeah.
You do that with energy. We all do that with energy, whether we're aware of it or not. So I like to push sounds around and create certain experiences, and especially when I'm performing live. I love to kind of like bless everybody in my own way, and I like it to be fresh and fun and exciting as well. But I like to kind of bless people, and while I'm singing, I'm blessing them, and when I'm improvising, obviously I'm taking their energy and putting it inside of myself, bringing it inside of myself, and if I've done the correct job of putting the ego over here to the left of me, moving it out of the way, then I am a clear vessel, kind of naked vessel channel, and the God energy can come through. And then I take their energy, it comes inside of me, and I bless it. And I often bring ecstasy, a sense of bliss and joy and unity and good energy and just really yummy energy, and fling it right back at them, you know. I don't fling it. I'm not quite that violent, but I...
No.
Like a towel, like a wet towel, you know. Sometimes I do, I have to admit. Sometimes I'm a bit of a dragon on stage, but I bring it back to them.
I felt like we got, like, slapped with a little bit of love, you know what I mean?
I like that.
I think that's what love, it was.
Love, love. Yeah.
And it's really surprising because you're so, it's true, you are so tiny, but yet there's so much energy in you, you know, or at least you know how to channel it.
Yeah, and, well, I've been here for a long time.
Yeah.
In many dimensions. And I'm just like, okay, people, I don't want to stay much longer. I think that this lifetime, because I'm open to having other lives, you know. I haven't totally decided, but I like to be open-minded to the endless possibilities, of course, that we're energetic beings, and we've lived in different forms and different lives, etc. I think my path this lifetime is to sort of help wake people up, I think. And I hopefully do it in a exciting, fresh, original and loving, enjoyable sort of way, you know. And you know, I'm thinking about when I was about 17 years old, I was watching, you know, I used to love my MTV before it got all, you know, totally ridiculous and commercialized.
Before the real world.
Yeah, but I have to say I do enjoy a lot of reality TV. It's just so. I also enjoy a lot of celebrity gossip rags, so no, I'm not totally pure, you know. I try, but I enjoy a lot of that stuff. But I used to enjoy watching MTV and VH1, and there was, you know, they had the little segments, the concerts, the live concerts, and I saw, when I was about 17, I saw a concert of Sting. And he was doing his little thing and singing to just endless sea of people. I couldn't see the end of it, how many people were there in the stadium. And all these people squished together in, like, this little, you know, no personal space whatsoever. And that could get really messy and violent in the wrong sort of circumstance.
Yeah.
Really nasty. But here's all these people smashed like sardines. In a can, and endless sea of them. I mean, people could get crushed, and no, because the energy is so good. And that had such a profound, inspiring impact on me, seeing everybody being there together, sharing that moment together, a true moment of unity. And just loveliness. And I definitely cried, got teary-eyed watching that. And just that inspires me greatly to, anytime I can help facilitate people coming together and having a really positive yet fun experience together, and knowing that we're all connected, and peace, really, you know, enjoyment, pleasure and peace, maybe, you know. So that really, you know, one of the things that inspired me. Yeah, you know, I always knew I was going to be a performer, though. Since I was a little girl, I saw myself on stage in front of seas of people when I was maybe 3 to 5, 7 years old at my grandma's house. I used to have visions come to me and see that, you know. So it's not like that's what convinced me to perform. I'd already been seeing visions for quite a while.
All right, and are we going to head into another song right now? Is that what we're going to do? Okay.
Skyhorse.
Oh, yeah, I like this one a lot.
Skyhorse. Really quick, give us, like, the recording process on this.
Okay, yeah, you know, very much similar to I Am. This is with my last collaboration called Ether. And the song, the music is by a very, very talented producer-composer named Walker Barnard. In Santa Fe, New Mexico, he's really very talented and extremely creative and fresh, and I really enjoyed collaborating with him. And so this is Skyhorse, and yeah, again, just listening to the music that he created in the studio, and then putting on the headphones and just going, just totally in the moment with no preconceived, you know, notions, ideas.
And
just,
and
yeah,
this
in the
is
flow.
Track 2, right?
Track 2, Skyhorse.
Okay, Skyhorse here on Network 23, killradio.org. And after this song, we'll be signing off. Thank you for listening. And one last time, you want to give us your MySpace page?
Yeah, everyone, please feel free to be a friend on there and connected. And I'm good to my friends, and I love you all. My page is myspace.com/divinescience. That's DIVINESCIENCE, Divine Science.
Now, any upcoming shows?
Oh, God, I get asked to do shows fairly often, but I don't have anybody that I'm working with at this moment. So desperately need to find the correct producer in LA, preferably, to collaborate with. Any producers out there?
It's so funny. I keep saying this, but this is so funny. Anytime that I want to mention something, it's almost like you grab it right out of my head. I was about to mention, like, there's on your blog section, you have a little spacer where it says seeking producers.
Sure.
And so if any producer out there wants to, is interested in working with a great female talent like Marissa, go ahead and leave your contact info, and preferably from L.A. We know.
Preferably, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, we never know where the magic's going to come from, but it'd be so handy and convenient. My little brain says it'd be so convenient to, be so close and, be able to practice on a regular basis and create all this just amazing, brilliant, tight music and perform it together. Mm-hmm. Near my current home, L.A., La La Land.
Yay! All right, then. Well, once again, special thanks to Marissa, a.k.a. Divine Science, here for joining us today on Network 23. And don't forget to check us out next week, same time from 2:30 to 4 p.m. And we'll be leaving you with her song, Skyhorse. This is from your former collaboration with Ether. Is that correct?
That's right. And I thank you guys so very, very, very much for having me. I've had a great deal of fun, and I love Kill Radio. Kill Radio is the best.
Thank you.
It's really fabulous. Mm-hmm. Fun.
Okay. Thank you for listening, and we're signing off. Network 23, killradio.org.
sure.